ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we're continuing our reading from the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 2, which is entitled Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons, text 57. Yes? Evam yuyam apashyantya atma payam abuddhayaha nainam prapsyata shochantyaha patim Varsha Shatayar Vapi Evang Yuyang Apashyantya Atma Payam Apudhaya Nainang Prabhsyatta Shochantya Pating Varsha Shatayar Vapi Evang Yuyang Apashyantya Atma Payama Buddhaya Nayanang Prabhsyata Shochantya Pating Varsha Shatayarapi Evang Yuyama Pashyantya Atma Payama Buddhaya Nayanang Prabhsyata Shochantya Pating Varsha Shatayarapi. Please chant. Apashyantya. Namapaya Buddhaya. Nainam Prapsyata Shochantya. Satchasanta Pating Varsha Satarapi. Vaishnavins. Evam Yuyang Apashyanta Atma Payama Buddhaya Nainang Prapsyata Shochantya Pating Varsha Satarapi. Evam, thus, yuyam, you, apashyantyaha, not seeing, atma apayam, own death, abuddhayaha, O ignorant ones, na, not, enam, him, prapsyata, you will obtain, shoshantya, lamenting for Patim, your husband, Varsha Shatai, for 100 years, Api, even. Social Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Thus Yamaraj, in the guise of a small boy, told all the queens, you are all so foolish that you lament, but do not see your own death. Afflicted by a poor fund of knowledge, you do not know that even if you lament for your dead husband for hundreds of years, you will never get him back alive. And in the meantime, your lives will be finished. Please repeat. Thus Yamaraj, in the guise of a small boy, told all the queens, you are also foolish that you lament, but do not see your own death. Afflicted by a poor fund of knowledge, you do not know that even if you lament for your dead husband for hundreds of years, you will never get him back alive. And in the meantime, your lives will be finished. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Yamaraj once asked Maharaj Yudhishthira, quote, "What is the most wonderful thing within this world?" Maharaj Yudhishthira replied, and this is from the Mahabharata, Vanaparva, "Ahanyahani bhutani gacchanti yamalayam shesha stavara icchanti kim ascharyam atakparam." Hundreds and thousands of living entities meet death at every moment, but a foolish living being nonetheless thinks himself deathless and does not prepare for death. This is the most wonderful thing in this world. Everyone has to die because everyone is fully under the control of material nature. Yet everyone thinks that he is independent, that whatever he likes he can do, that he will never meet death but live forever, and so on. So-called scientists are making various plans by which living entities in the future can live forever. But while they are thus pursuing such scientific knowledge, Yamaraj, in due course of time, will take them away from their business of so-called research. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschacha Deshtarane Om Agyana Timurandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtang Stapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vandehang Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru and Vaishnavangsha Shri Rupam Sagadatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vatam Tangsavijivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vatangsha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Vishabhanu Sute Devi Panamami Hari Priya Vancha Kopa Tarubhya Shakripa Sindhu Vivacha Patitanang Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittananda Shri Advaita Gadan Harashiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So why is Yamaraj in the guise of a small boy? This was already discussed. Because then these grown-up ladies will hear the knowledge that he's presenting without getting angry. If you went to some wake, some funeral observance somewhere, and started yelling at people like this, you're just a bunch of fools. You know, you can lament for hundreds of years. Your mother, father, husband, whatever, will never come back. They'll probably call the cops and have you thrown out. But in the guise of a small boy, Yamaraj appears on the scene, and he can speak this kind of knowledge, and they will listen without getting angry. It also indicates to us that Komara Acharya Pragya, from the very beginning of life, at least from 5 years on, one should be hearing, if not totally conversant with, this knowledge. Prahlad Maharaj is setting the example later on in this chapter. In other words, take it seriously right from the beginning of life. Don't wait. Some people think, spiritual life is important, but I have so many plans, let me pursue those, and then later on I'll get a little serious about it. No. Right from the beginning of life one has become, because as been pointed out repeatedly, but we don't take it so seriously, death can come at any moment in so many ways. Recently, our neighbor down the street, apparently I didn't know him personally, but this chiropractor, Dr. Rainey, right where the Blockbuster is, he has an office upstairs, or had, I should say. He used to come to Govinda's all the time. The devotees in the Govinda's know him. He got bludgeoned to death. Some guy was trying to rob him. At least I presume it was a guy. Nowadays it could be a girl too. But anyway, he got bludgeoned to death. They were trying to rob him. How much money can you carry around in your wallet for crying out loud? So for whatever few dollars he had in his wallet, he got killed. This is Kali Yuga. People are so vicious. Now, the person who did that, if not killed, which they should be hanged or whatever, shot, however you kill people these days for murder, but at least they'll spend the rest of their life in jail. So rather than spending a few hours making $10 an hour, you know, in 5 hours they would have made whatever they're going to find in his wallet. But no, they'll kill the guy for $50 or whatever in his wallet, you know, and then go to jail for the rest of life. Ignorant, foolish. This is the age that we live in. People are so desperately foolish, so ignorant, that they do things that are detrimental to their own existence. Why do we say they? We do things that are detrimental to our own existence. This is Kali Yuga. Because of ignorance, we engage in activities that drag us down rather than elevating us. So this is why it's so important to constantly hear these topics, so that we finally get a jump start somewhere along the line that, yes, let me take this seriously. We were discussing after class the other day about sannyas falling down, but it's not surprising. Again, Srila Prabhupada, as he himself said, to start a spiritual movement in the material atmosphere is a very difficult thing. So at the beginning of this movement, you could say the first wave is all of the Prabhupada disciples. Although a wave, just like any other wave, has sections. There's the forefront, those who were there in the very beginning, like Mukunda Maharaj. I'm reading his book right now, Miracle on Second Avenue. And ignorance, he admits, they were ignorant. They didn't know from beans what Prabhupada was presenting. Some or other, by good fortune, they stumbled across him and were able to get his association, start their spiritual life and go forward. But as an example he gave, that he went with Prabhupada, when Prabhupada first came to San Francisco area, you know, they started a little storefront. And then one day Prabhupada just said to him, I have an appointment to see the Indian ambassador. I want you to take me. So, you know, Mukunda Maharaj made the arrangements last minute, got the temple car, which was this old beat-up, you know, hippie bus that they were using. And so they pull up in front of this fancy hotel and this beat-up bus. He didn't know what to do, where to turn. So he just gave the key to the doorman. And then they went up and to see this Indian ambassador. And he said that he hadn't gotten much rest the night before, so Prabhupada was speaking to this man and his wife in Hindi. So he started nodding out on the couch. He was hoping nobody would notice he was nodding out. So then later on he was discussing with Prabhupada about how much sleep to get. He said, Prabhupada, I heard that, you know, we're not supposed to sleep so much. Prabhupada said, you know, you take as much as you need to refresh. And then Mukunda Maharaj said, but some devotees say that we shouldn't sleep more than 6 hours. And Prabhupada said, 6 hours is usually sufficient. So this is one of the things that came right from Prabhupada. It wasn't that somebody made that up. Because in the early days, sometimes you'd hear Prabhupada said, and then we'll get back to Prabhupada and say, I never said that. But in this case, Prabhupada actually said that. 6 hours is usually sufficient. And I know in my own case, when I joined, I'd been burning the candle at both ends. And for me, if I got 4 or 5 hours in a night, that was a lot. So when the devotees told me, oh, we don't recommend sleeping more than 6 hours, I literally laughed. I said, I never sleep 6 hours anyway. I mean, what's the big deal? But so ignorant of so many things. Then on that same sojourn with Srila Prabhupada to see that ambassador, the Indian ambassador, his wife was very fair-skinned, so Mukunda Maharaj asked Prabhupada, why is she so light? She's Indian. He said, well, she's Parsi, you know, they're from Persian side, so they tend to be very light-skinned. And she gave Prabhupada, or through the husband, gave Prabhupada this huge thing wrapped up in foil. So when they got in the car, Prabhupada unwrapped it. It was a huge date, and Prabhupada took a bite and then gave the rest of it to Mukunda Maharaj. And he admitted at that time, again, due to ignorance, he was looking like, ah, I'm going to eat something that somebody else bit? No way. No conception that here is Jagat Guru, Srila Prabhupada, giving you his remnants directly. Later on, remnants that we would literally fight over. We would fight over Prabhupada's remnants. If you could get a fraction of an orange peel that Prabhupada already took the orange out of, just the peel was left. If you could get a fraction, you would feel like you were, you know, on a rocket ship back to Godhead. But here was Mukunda Maharaj. Prabhupada gave him half a date that he bit personally and gave it to him, and he was looking at it like, ew. But then some other super soul induced him to eat it. So he took a bite and he gave the rest back to Prabhupada. Ignorance! And Prabhupada said, no, thank you. He didn't chastise him like, you idiot, you don't give the spiritual master. He was already initiated. It was not like he was just the first day in the temple or something. He was already initiated. So this is my point, is that Prabhupada started something from scratch. From scratch he was starting, taking ignorant people off the street and trying to give them spiritual education. So we can't be surprised when the first wave of ISKCON peaks before it gets to the shore of the spiritual world. We can't be surprised. It was an emergency time dealing with people who had no conception at all of what is spiritual and what is not. But this movement is an opportunity to put in place systems so that future generations become better and better and better. This is the whole point. I was talking to Vijay about this after the class. Sometimes we forget. Good brahmacharis make good grihasthas. If you're not a good brahmachari, you're not going to make a good grihastha. In the past, this was the mistake. Somebody's having trouble in brahmachari ashram. Okay, get him married. What kind of married man is he going to be? He's not trained. He has not surrendered to training. So his eyes are going to be wandering all over the place. He's going to be married, but as soon as there's some difficulty, he wants to go off with Jane and Sue and whatever. Good brahmacharis make good grihasthas. Good grihasthas make good vanaprasthas. Good vanaprasthas make good sannyasis. That's the system. And it starts early. It's not that, like Prabhupada was doing, was taking 20-year-olds. In my case, I was 20, going on 21. Taking 20-year-olds who had already been completely, completely soiled, rotten. And then trying to turn them into brahmacharis. What kind of success rate are you going to have? Brahmacharya means Komar Acharya Pragyatama. Starting from the very beginning of life, 5 years old, the boys would be sent to the Gurukula. Girls would be educated at home. This is real Vedic culture. Of course, if you start at age 5, drilling Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedic etiquette, Vaishnava etiquette, of course, you have a good chance that by the time they get to be to puberty and then beyond, that they're going to be little gentlemen. They're going to see every woman as their mother until they marry one and they see that one as wife and every other woman as mother. Where is the chance when you take them off the street at age 20, when they're already completely soil rotten, that they're going to have that vision? It's very difficult, extremely difficult, to take a young man who's already been spoiled and train him to see every woman as mother. It's extremely difficult. Extremely difficult. And that's the difficulty that we run into. We are born in ignorance. Om Agyana Timiranda. We're not just saying that. It's a fact. We're born in ignorance. Agyan means without knowledge. Now, this Hiranyakashipu, he seems to have knowledge. Seems to have knowledge. Knowledge, at least the depth and technicality of the Vedic knowledge, is really the purview of the Brahmanas. The Brahmanas, those who were brahminically inclined, were saturated in the Vedic knowledge. And then they were supposed to use that to teach others and to guide the rulers of society, the Kshatriyas. So Krishna says, Gyanam, Vigyanam. First, you have to have knowledge. And then Vigyan means realized knowledge or applied knowledge. You have to apply that knowledge in your life. So if you just absorb Gyan, which a lot of people do nowadays, they are still, you'll find some people are very eager to learn. But because they don't have any guide to help them transform that Gyan into Vigyan, then it just remains all speculative. Remains all speculative. And it becomes more or less a cheating proposition. We find that especially in the yoga world. Somebody will start out being trained in Iyengar yoga, and then they'll go off and learn a little bit from someone else. And a few years down the road, they open their own branch of yoga where they put it all together, and now this is my yoga. That's cheating. That's cheating. Any real knowledge is coming down in the cyclic succession and should be handed down as you received it. Not that you add something to it and subtract something from it and then put your label on it and sell it to the world. That's not how real knowledge is disseminated. As we know, the highest form of yoga is bhakti yoga. So certainly when you come to bhakti yoga, you have to kick out that tendency. You don't learn from your guru and then add something to it and subtract something from it and present it as your own. That is not allowed on the bhakti path. So jnana has to be acquired from a teacher. It's not something that you devise on your own or derive on your own. That's not how it works. What is that? Mantra stay nishpalam spriha. That if you don't learn the mantras from the right source, then mantra stay nishpalam spriha. Pala means fruit. Nishpala means no fruit. If you speculate and put things together on your own, then you're not going to bear any fruit. You may get money, like many of them do, so they're encouraged. They see that such and such yogi put together his own stuff and became famous and made money. So I can do that too. And they're inspired by that. But that's not the goal of life, just to make money. Because that money is not going to buy you a ticket back to Godhead. You cannot purchase a ticket back to Godhead. You cannot purchase a ticket even to the heavenly planets. Or to speak of getting out of this material world. No. The real fruit of knowledge, the Vedanta, And the Veda Pala, if you will, the fruit of knowledge, is to reawaken your love of God. It's to please Krishna. And Krishna's not pleased just by, we're reading recently the story of the yogic brahmanas and their wives. The brahmanas, they were steeped in knowledge. They were performing big, big sacrifice and chanting all these mantras, Om Swaha, and throwing water this way and lighting fire that way. But Krishna was not impressed. He sent the coward boys to ask them for food and they refused. So Krishna's not impressed. Oh, they're so highly elevated in knowledge. Okay. No. He said they're a bunch of fools. Now you go back to their wives and ask for food. So they went back to the wives and immediately, Krishna and Balaram, they want service from us. Immediately, they ran away from every responsibility. Because, you know, the wife is supposed to be there with the husband during the yoga. Forget that. Krishna wants us. They ran to the forest and served Krishna and Balaram very nicely. And they didn't want to go back home. But Krishna said, no, you go back home, everything will be all right. And then finally, the so-called highly learned brahmanas, they lamented that we are so foolish. You know, the goal, the object of all the sacrifice is to please Krishna, and Krishna wanted us to send food and we didn't. So, one has to understand what is the goal of knowledge. So, here in Hiranyakashipu, he's full of knowledge. He's preaching to the queens, reciting histories, the story of Yamaraj and the queens of Suyogya. But does he have realized knowledge? And what does Krishna say? Jnana, Vijnana, and then what is the next one? No. In the list of qualifications of a brahmana. Astikyam. And what does Astikyam mean? Religiousness, religiosity. So, Jnana has to be followed by Vijnana. And one has to be religious. If you're irreligious, then your knowledge, your so-called true knowledge has no meaning. Just like Prabhupada is saying in today's purport, these so-called santas, you know, they're, what does he say in the last line? The Yamaraj in due course of time will take them away from their business of so-called research. So they're too busy researching how to extend life for a few more years, and they can't extend their own life for even for one moment. When your time is up, sir, you go. No more. Like Papa told the story of this man in Calcutta, big, big businessman. He was begging the doctor, please extend my life just for 4 more years. My business is not finished yet. You can't. You can't do it with your money. The doctor can't do it with his so-called medical education. When your time is up, it's up. And you go. Agents of Yamaraj come and take you away. So at the beginning of this purport, Papa refers to this pastime from the Mahabharata, where, as you know, Yamaraj was testing Yudhishthira, in particular, the Pandavas as a group. So they were passing through, they were in exile at that point, passing through this particular place, strange landscape, and there were nothing to, no water to drink, and then they come across this pool, and a voice said, don't drink the water, it's poison. One by one they came. Ah, and they're big, big chachas, they're not afraid of anything. Drank the water, and one by one they died. So the last one left was Yudhishthira. And when Yudhishthira tracked them down, he came, the 4 dead bodies are there. And he realized something is going on here. And then this Yamaraj, in the form of guise of a yaksha, he said, I'm going to ask you 5 questions. If you answer these questions, then I'll bring your brothers back to life. So Yudhishthira could have, you know, been belligerent. Who are you? But he understood. He was intelligent. So this is one question. What is the most wonderful thing in the world? And then he recites this verse. Ahani, ahani means, ahani means day. So ahani, ahani, bhutani. Kachantiya yamalayam. Day after day, moment after moment, second after second, bhutani, all these living entities, gacchanti means to go, yamalayam means the abode of Yamaraj. Everybody's going before Yamaraj, which means that they're dying. You don't go before Yamaraj until you die. He may come before you, like now he came before the queens, but generally you don't go before Yamaraj until after death. So what's so wonderful about that? We see it happening, yeah, everybody's dying. Shesha stavara ichanti. Those who remain, itcha, because of desire. Shesha stavara ichanti. They're full of desires, even though they see everybody's dying. All the parents, grandparents, all my friends, everybody's dying. Still, even up to the fag end of life, they're making plans due to desires. Making plans due to lusty desires. Papa tells that story about the king who approached his minister, these Muslim king, and many of them, they kept Hindu ministers. Prophet said, why? Why did they keep Hindu ministers? Because they trusted them. They didn't trust the Muslim ministers because they were, you know, would always be plotting how to kill the king and take over his position. So they would hire these Hindu ministers. So he asked his Hindu minister, when does lust end? And he said, doesn't. It lasts up till the very end of life. And the king said, nah, I don't believe you. The minister said, okay. So then one day he calls the king and says, come, please come and bring your young daughter. He had a teenage daughter. Why? What? But anyway, he trusted his minister. Okay. So he went with him and they go to this house where there's an old man in his last few breaths of life. He's lying on the bed about to die. So he said, go in and take your daughter. So the king walks in with his daughter and immediately the old man is looking her up in his last few breaths of life and he's glancing over this young girl. So then the king immediately understood, yes, lusty desires last right up to the end of life. So we should take this seriously. If we don't seriously take to the path of purification, if we don't conquer this enemy of lust by Krishna consciousness, and it can only be conquered by Krishna's grace, by satisfying Krishna. When Krishna is pleased, he can call off the dogs, three dogs, the three modes of nature. Some people, because they're more or less in the mode of goodness, they're happy with that dog, and they pet that dog all the time. Oh, I'm so learned, I'm so clean, I'm so advanced. No, but you're still in Maya's realm. You're still playing with one of the three dogs. You're playing with the dog of goodness, but that dog will turn around and bite you, just like any other dog. So the only way to call the dogs off is to completely surrender, Krishna says. If you surrender to me, I will call off my three dogs, the three modes of nature, and then you'll be free. But we don't take that seriously. We're thinking that somehow or other, by my strength, by my serious chanting, by my learning, no. By surrender to Krishna only, he will call off those three dogs. And then we will stop making plans impelled by lusty desires. Otherwise it goes on, like that minister showed, till the very end of life. One is plotting again and again how to get a little squeeze out a little sense gratification here, how to get a little more money over there. Plans, money and sense gratification. The two things go hand in hand. And that's what impels those in material consciousness to keep going. Otherwise everybody can see, especially Kali Yuga is such a degraded age. It just gets worse and worse. People actually elevate the most degraded forms of sense gratification into a spiritual path. One of my friends on Facebook, somewhere other, there was a link and I clicked on it. Not a story I recommended everybody would read, but it was kind of fascinating anyway. It drives home the point that this young man, he had been a monk, Indian person, he had been a monk, and never engaged in sense gratification his whole life. But then I guess he wasn't getting any juice out of it anymore, he decided to give it up. And then he got involved with this Western woman, and she took him to this camp where they practice this, you know, most degraded forms of sense gratification as their spiritual path. They have temples dedicated to all kinds of... He was shocked. But that's what goes on. People who don't get this real knowledge, they become vulnerable and misled by people who present them sense gratification packaged as a spiritual path. Come to our camp and really engage in all kinds of perverted sense acts. And it's spiritual. We have a temple for that. Where we worship these kind of things. And you will feel spiritual. You'll make advancement. So we have such a tough task to preach or assist Srila Prabhupada in preaching this timeless knowledge that leads us to deathlessness. But before we can preach, we have to allow ourselves to be preached to. Sometimes we make this mistake that I just take the books and read from it and try to get everybody else to do what it says in the book and forget about ourselves. So good disciples become good spiritual masters. Good hearers become good preachers. And good hearing means that you do what you hear. The example given, I'll finish with this, is the spiritual master comes after some long time he came to this particular community of disciples And he sits on the Vyasa and they're giving the Vyasa sign, and Guru is going to speak now. And then the Guru says, I would like a glass of water. And everybody just sits there going, Jai Gurudev. Nobody moves. So he speaks for a few more minutes and he goes, I'd like to have some water. Jai Gurudev. That means they're not hearing. No matter how many times he asks for water, they just say, Jai Gurudev, and nobody does anything. So the proof that one has heard from the Guru is that one does what the Guru says. That's the proof. And a person, a disciple who's in that caliber, who hears from the spiritual master and does what the spiritual master says, then becomes a qualified preacher, becomes qualified to repeat those instructions, and it will have effect on other people's lives. But if you hear and you don't do, then you're not qualified to ask anybody else to do. Grantarashimi Bhagatam Kijai, Srila Prabhupada Kijai. Any questions? Any discussion? Okay, Hari Bo.
No. Yes, sir.